Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Whoa, baby.
Wow.
The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back. Yes, Steven. Steven's shot out of the cannon, ready to go here tonight.
What an episode to talk about.
What a night.
I'm friendly with Dan Strung.
Yes.
And I actually knew that he was going to be on Survivor. And when he got back, I said, no spoilers. But he said, feel free to mock me if you need to on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. And boy, he should have not given me that blessing. He should have not said that, that was a mistake.
He should have read the fine print on that one.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. Lot to unpack here tonight on a wild third episode of Survivor 42. Before we start, Steven's like, hold on. I have to get a glass of water.
Yeah.
I am too worked up about this, but
just trying to replicate the experiences of the contestants who are, swamped with water.
Steven said, I am fired up and ready to go because I am so angry at Marianne for turning off Survivor token genes.
Well, what a strange season to not watch six episodes of, there's so many worse seasons of Survivor. You watched all of season 39, all of season 22, mm-hmm. and you missed, six episodes.
Well,
six.
You're implying like she started it and turned it off. Maybe she was like traveling and just jumped in the middle.
You missed a lot of context though.
Okay. All right. A lot to talk about. Of course, we have a lot to say about Daniel's decision and how that whole tribal council unfolded for the Vati tribe. We've got an instant poll up on our Rob is a Podcast Instagram page at RHAP Grams. Let us know. Okay. Did you agree with Daniel's decision to flip the vote? Or should he have gone to Rocks? Let us know. We will bring you the results of that later on in the podcast.
I mean, he couldn't have played it worse,
we're not asking you. We're asking you what would you have done in that spot?
Okay. I shouldn't have given my opinion. I mean, who knows? It could be either. I shouldn't have given my perspective.
Sure. We want to know, what would have been the right call in that spot?
And just
of course,
get up and leave.
I'm going to the house like Keith Nail. Okay. So we have all that. And Steven, I could not be more excited about the week of podcasting that we have coming up because tomorrow I will speak with your friend and mine, the great Survivor legend, Kim Spradlin will be my guest on the Survivor Recap. Yeah.
Wow.
How about that? An HGTV show coming up next week.
Really?
Yeah.
My God.
So they've got Wendell. They've got Kim. HGTV. It's all about Survivor over there. And so we will talk with Kim Spradlin. Very excited about that. And then Gandia Johnson will join me on the feedback show this week.
Wow.
So it is a loaded week here on Rob's Podcast. Not to mention, David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis will join me on the Survivor Academy. So a lot of great podcasts coming your way from myself. Of course, make sure you subscribe. RobIsTheWebsite.com/subscribe. Steven, all right. So this was a wild night. We were down to just four votes in the Vati tribe. And ultimately, we had a situation where after this 2-2 split, we had a situation where it came down to really a debate.
True. Very true.
Let me get your your thoughts on this.
Well, I really don't think you can talk about this tribal council without talking about Chanel's Shipwheel Island decision.
Okay, back it up.
That sets up everything. I think we got to go back there. Rob, are you okay with that?
Can yes,
we
go please. To the Shipwheel let's go. Island? Let's take it in order. Okay, so Chanel goes to Shipwheel Island with Omer, and that it seems to me, I felt like this was like a miscommunication between Chanel and Omer.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly thought that this was that's a very generous interpretation. You know, from what we saw, and obviously they talked for a lot longer, you know, we're only seeing the parts of their conversation that lead us to make a judgment about their decision, right? So, you know, we're seeing six sentences that they say to each other. They talk for probably an hour or more, right? It sounded like a really long walk. So maybe those six sentences aren't the most salient in their minds when they're making that Shipwheel decision. That said, those six sentences seem pretty definitive. You know, Chanel said, I absolutely cannot lose my vote tonight. She's going to a tribal council. The politics of her tribe are that, you know, there's two pairs, or there's three pairs, two of them are against each other, and Chanel and Daniel are in the middle. But it seems like Chanel and Daniel are going to be with Mike and Jenny. And Mike has lost his vote. So if Chanel wants a majority, she absolutely has to have her vote. There's no question she 100% needs her vote tonight if she wants to stick with Mike and Jenny. You know, for the most part, assuming, you know, to make it easy on herself. And she says as much. She says, you know, I'm going to tribal council. You know, she knows that Mike doesn't have his vote. She says, I definitely cannot risk my vote tonight. And Omer, apparently hears those words and interprets them to mean, oh, Chanel can't risk her vote tonight.
Yeah.
So she has to play it safe. I feel like Omer did not, from what we saw, I don't think there was like a miscommunication between Omer on Omer's part. He heard what she said, you know, took it to mean the words that came out of her mouth and, you know, made a decision accordingly. I feel like Chanel talked herself into this. Like she wanted the big move. And then she sort of like convinced herself that it made sense for her to go with the more aggressive Shipwheel choice.
Yeah. As they were talking about it, you know, they use words like, okay, you know, I want to, you know, I have to, you know, protect what I'm doing, but it would be great if we could both get an advantage. Well, right. I mean, that's not really an option that's on the menu here at Shipwheel Island. It's, you know, unless there's three people that go, I'm not sure how much communication there was. Of course, we didn't get to see, unlike in Survivor 41, we didn't really get to see what the other players told from the first visit to Shipwheel Island. I'm sure that will come up in my exit interview with Jenny tomorrow of what had Jenny revealed, where perhaps, I mean, hindsight being 2020, had Jenny maybe given more information, perhaps that would have been the difference in Chanel not risking her vote at tribal council.
But Jenny also was on it's a big difference with two people versus three people. And I think that's a real improvement because there's a much bigger chance that they're both going to lose their votes. You know, with three people, there's obviously a much higher likelihood that one of them is going to play it safe.
Which is what happened in season 41 as well. But we saw this situation twice before in season 41, where Evie, in a very similar spot here, ended up coming back and telling Deshaun straight up, like, hey, look, you take that extra vote. You take it. Shan had the same thing with Liana also in season 41. It's like, I cannot lose my vote right now. And both of them protected their vote and basically like used that opportunity to give away an advantage to the other person. You make a good point. It was wild for Chanel to think that based on what she told Omer, that he would have not risked his vote in that spot.
Yeah, and that's why I think she like talked herself into it. She's like, well, I know Omer knows my vote is important now, and he has my best interest in heart, and therefore maybe he'll play it safe. I feel like she saw this like fun thing to go for, this like, you know, shiny toy that is that extra vote. It was like, well, and then kind of like argued herself into it being plausible when obviously her vote, I mean, it's so rare that you're voted at tribal, that one person voted at a tribal council is so crucial. And this is truly like, this is one of the most impactful times probably ever that someone will risk their vote in this situation and have it matter so much. And you know, or for her to know. I mean, for her to know, not necessarily even for it to have mattered, but for her to know in advance that it would matter so much.
Steven, could you imagine had Jenny risked her vote in the first Shipwheel Island, in the first episode, they would have only had 3 votes going into this tribal council.
And in fact, in that case, I mean, I guess...
High and Lydia would have won the day straight up. Yeah, exactly. It would have had a 2-1 advantage. Yeah. Voted Jenny out straight. Yeah. Okay.
It did sound like Jenny had said, had given them sort of a basics of what the play was, right? It sounded like she said she played it safe, no advantage for her. So they knew that there was some like risk reward metric and that there was an opportunity, but it's reasonable for them not to know what it's going to be if there's just 2 people, because it's a different situation.
So Chanel comes back and Daniel is like, telling her about what is going on. Okay, it's going to be a 2-2 vote. Chanel has, I thought, a very ingenious plan. And I wonder if she might have thought of this on the way out to Shipwheel Island of, hey, we'll split the vote. That's right. What we'll do. And so do you think, is it possible where she wants to do a vote split where the girls are on Jenny, boys are on Mike, as they said. And so, okay, well, we'll get High and Lydia voting in different directions, and then we can just double cross them, and that's how we're going to ultimately win out on this one. Is it possible where she thought she had the daylight to potentially risk her vote?
Well, and it looked like it was about to work too. I mean, to their credit, and I think if this is not their first tribal council, maybe they could have pulled it off. I felt like there was a lot of like, wait, this is their first tribal council.
This is the first tribal council for Vati.
I felt like there was a lot of like first tribal council jitters here where like people were kind of like, you know, they're like warning signs. They were like triggered, like they're like their insects, you know, receptors were like triggering a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll work on that.
Antenna?
One.
Antenna. Yeah. Antenna.
But yeah, but they were like sending out signals, you know, they were like sending out all kinds of crazy signals. Like Chanel gets back and High's like, wait, why is she so agitated? And by the way, when High comes to Chanel and says, we can do 3-1, which like, hey, doesn't really make any sense, as Chanel appropriately noted. That they could have gone with that, because if the one was going to be, you know, one of that could have worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if High or Lydia was the one, then it would have effectively been a split vote.
So I think that when we think about this, you know, based on the information that High and Lydia have, so we know that Mike found the idol, found the Beware Advantage, shared that information with Daniel, who shared it with Jenny. From High and Lydia's perspective, that I think that they're probably thinking, okay, you know, it's Mike's been going off. It's possible he has an idol. They don't know about Beware Advantage. They don't even know. High eventually is going to be like, hey, where are the votes? It seemed like the High and Lydia were in the dark about, how exactly the idols are working this season.
Well, but the 3-1 doesn't make sense, right? Because if they do have an idol,
yes.
If Mike and Jenny do have
maybe
an idol.
Maybe it was a shot in the dark concern.
Right. Yes. But even so, you want the one doesn't make sense, right? Because presumably Mike and Jenny are putting their votes together on the same place. So they have 2 votes. Mm-hmm. So that 1 vote is irrelevant, right? If you're throwing 1 vote somewhere, it has no effect on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So having like a 2-2 split works a lot.
Is it possible that they knew Mike had lost his vote? Is it possible that that had come up?
It didn't seem like it. Well, High certainly had no idea why there weren't more votes, right? Mm-hmm. High repeatedly said, where are the votes?
Well,
he said it once.
Definitely. But, you
know, facial expressions.
Yeah. It seemed like that maybe it was a surprise that Chanel did not have a vote. Maybe that they were under the impression that Mike was not going to have a vote.
I don't know. I got the sense that they were really surprised that there was just 2 votes. I mean, I think it seemed like High was not aware that people were losing their votes, right?
Yeah, he's aware of the votes, plural. So,
yeah. And also, he wasn't like, where's that one other vote? But also, like, there's no reason. I mean, this is, you know, everyone losing their votes suddenly at tribal councils is relatively new.
You're at a tribal council with no votes.
I mean, right. But it was theatrical in the moment, right? Like nobody had previously lost their vote. Like that was outside of the context of that specific tribal council. But anyway, so yeah, the 3-1 doesn't really make sense because presumably Mike and Jenny will be voting together. So the 1 vote will never invalidate their 2 votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the 2-2 split, not a terrible idea. The one thing I do want to note here is that as soon, and this is, you know, relevant to what comes later, as soon as Chanel gets off the boat, Daniel approaches her and says, who do we vote out, Lydia or Jenny? She says Lydia. Like that, the thing that Daniel claimed happened absolutely happened. I mean, that was so stupid of him to bring it up in that context, but it did happen.
Why did you he was stupid when he brought up a tribal council, not when
later on. Got it. Like, you know, when he threw Chanel under the bus and he was like, oh, Chanel told me to do this. Like, obviously that was not great gameplay in that moment, but it was the truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we get to everybody goes in and votes, and we ultimately have the 2-2 vote as intended. Now, so if we had, it was supposed to be girls on Jenny, boys on Mike. Is it that based on what we saw from the votes, did Hai and Lydia not end up going along with the plan?
Well, I thought the narrative, and I don't know where how the votes came out. My understanding was the narrative was, well, yeah.
I'm going to check the chat. Yeah.
No, it has to be. If the boy, Hai switched his vote, right? And the reason, and the narrative that we sort of saw developing was that he was getting a sense at tribal that something was fishy. So we know that Hai switched his vote, right? Because the two votes were not for Mike. They were for Jenny. Like, Jenny was the one who was not.
Right. Hai's vote was, if Hai had gone with Chanel and Daniel's plan, or Chanel's plan, that his vote should have been on Mike. Right. It was on Jenny, which leads to the split. Okay. So
what we saw, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, so what we saw was Hai kind of, this is maybe more an insect receptor, an antenna up. Mm-hmm. Hai's antenna were up because of a bunch of sort of, missed own goals. Can I say own goals from Daniel and Lydia, where Daniel sort of out of nowhere starts talking about how nervous he is.
Yeah.
Now he needs people to calm him down. And, you know, that's why he's going to lose, is because he's so anxious and he's got to have someone there to calm him.
Yeah.
And Jeff says, okay, who calms you? And he names Chanel.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And then Mike.
Yes.
And then his mom. Like,
yeah. And his people, girlfriend. Yeah.
And you know, Hai and Lydia are not named. You know, if he's like, I need people to calm me in this game in order to play it. You know, if I'm Hai, I'm like, okay, like, hello, like, what about your supposed allies here? So that was, and that obviously triggered Hai, you know, correctly. And then I think we saw Chanel lean over and whisper Lydia to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, they could take these shots from any point in the conversation.
Right.
It may not be that, you know, Hai at that moment was able to like intercept what was going on between the message from Lydia to Daniel. That's a question to ask Hai someday in the future. So we end up getting to our votes and the votes come in 2-2. Okay. Now we're going to have a revote. Now you can only vote for Lydia and for Jenny. And what we also have here is that we have people who do not have votes, but they still have to get up to go through the charade of, you know, going to go stand there. How do you think they do that? Does production like reset all, or do they stack the things in a certain order and they tell the survivors like, hey, whatever you do, don't pick up the paper underneath yours?
I think, or maybe they like put something on the, like, it looked like there was like a little parchment, like, you do not have a vote, you know, like that. So, or maybe like, you know, like a cameraman like whispers to them, like,
yeah, but they have like the things stacked up in a certain way where,
maybe they have, there's a part, didn't they have a parchment in the past? Like, you have no vote and you put it in or something.
Yes. That they have that, but like when they have like a whole note there, like, so Hai stands up, he doesn't see the note, but then Mike goes up there, he's got to read the note. So do they have like a PA?
I think it's like bad form to go like digging in the urn and like see what's in there already.
I don't know. I'm not talking about on the urn. I'm talking about like the stack of parchment that's on the desk when you get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I'm assuming that like they place that between votes. I don't think that's like waiting there and then you pick up the parchment.
Yeah.
I think it's only one parchment is there anyway. It's not like a stack of parchment. Otherwise you just like write them all in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a question to ask a survivor at a future.
I'm pretty sure that like you only get the one parchment there in front of you. I don't think there's like multiple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we get to now. Okay. It's 1-1. Where are the votes? Okay. It's this great moment. So Jeff says, all right, let me explain. Let me talk about what's going on. I have to reveal that at this point, Mike and Chanel have lost their vote. Okay. So now they can have a say in this. Was so interesting.
Yeah.
I really did love this. For as much as we complain about, and I did see people on Twitter like, oh, this is jump the shark. I thought this was great.
What was the shark jumping argument?
It's too much. It's gone too far. Survivor's gone too far. This is not, this is not how Survivor's supposed to be. Wow. But I love this where it's like, okay, now you have Hai and you have Daniel. And they could not have handled this situation more differently. And what I also loved is that Mike and Chanel, you are stakeholders here. You can talk about this. You'll be drawing rocks if we can't figure this out. But you don't have a vote. You still don't have a say.
Yeah, it was very, very interesting. It was so interesting. And, you know, it was like, I think we should talk through it beat by beat because so much happened. And it was like so fascinating the way that these positions developed. So out of the gate, Daniel says, I'm not going to rocks. Now, Dalton Ross thinks this is a terrible idea.
I agree. I feel like that Daniel, I think basically
gives away the game,
gave away the game to open it up.
He, in that moment, is saying, like, I've lost this negotiation.
Yes.
I don't think that's necessarily not what he wanted. Like, I think you only say, I'm not going to rocks. I kind of thought he was laying the groundwork for the fact that he wasn't going to rocks. You know, I think he was trying to absolve himself of responsibility out of the gate for the fact that he was not going to stand up for Jenny, because he didn't care. Like, he was like, it's either Jenny or Lydia. Like, he was like, it seemed like a 51-49 decision for him. Mm-hmm. So for him, his concern, right, in that moment is getting out of there with as little collateral damage as he can. Now, obviously, that didn't work out so hot. But I don't think that beat of I'm not going to draw rocks is necessarily a bad one. Now, obviously, if he wants to win the negotiation like I did, he would be like, I'm absolutely drawing rocks. I tweeted this, but like, in general, as a rule, and this is I felt how it was true in, even back in Token Chains, and maybe even, I mean, you tell me.
Don't ask Marianne.
Like, the group that is most willing to go to rocks
yes.
rarely has to go to rocks because the other group doesn't, and they usually get their way because nobody wants to go to rocks for the except in, like, you know, Survivor.
The Survivor the truism, season. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't think it was that, I didn't think it was that horrible. I thought that Daniel maybe knew he was going to lose the negotiation and was trying to get out ahead of his concession.
Yeah. So I think that this is pretty interesting what you're saying. So Daniel, I think in that moment knows instantly. Yeah. Goodbye, Jenny. And then this is how do I artfully get out of this? Now, I think maybe where he makes another error here is that he just internally, I'm going to throw Chanel under the bus really hard here.
Yeah.
And so this was never my idea. I always wanted to keep Lydia. I was with you all the way. Chanel told me I was with you, and she said, hey, let's vote out Lydia.
Right.
And I'm so, like, oh, if that's what you want to do, but that's not what I wanted to do.
And he's like, who do you really want, Chanel? He was basically saying, like, just say,
give me a name.
Let's vote out. Yeah, just, and he was basically saying to Chanel, just tell me to vote. Like, give me the pass here to vote out Jenny, and we're good.
Yeah. But
obviously, he was throwing her under the bus.
Yes. And
her response was fantastic. You know, first of all, like, that never happened. You're wrong. Like, this is crazy. But also, like, come on, you, a super fan, are telling me you have completely abdicated personal responsibility.
I love that so much. That was such a great moment. But do you think that Chanel should have picked up instantly what Daniel was putting down and said, yeah, I'm sorry, Jenny. That's going to do it. We're sort of like minimize the bleeding here, because I feel like that while Daniel is wounded here, I think that the person who is in the worst position, maybe coming out of this whole debacle, is Chanel now.
Oh, really? I think Daniel's in a much well. TBD. I think Daniel's in a much worse spot than Chanel is, because he was so the focal point of that whole exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's like there. What was interesting was High beautifully owns up to his vote. Right? He says
he was so good.
Yeah,
he got the fishy right. No doubt.
I think he's my winner pick, basically. And I'm not analyzing Edit anymore because I was broken last season. Mm-hmm. But I think basically, I mean, he was he was so good.
It was
so
Daniel who was bloodied tonight.
Yeah.
Not high.
Hey, it's pretty good. He immediately fesses up to, he says, Jenny, I owned up to my vote for you. I did it because I know you believe in strength and I'm not that, you know, and I knew I would, you know, so, and then, you know, everyone is fessing up to their votes. except Daniel and Chanel, who are like, oh, nope, nope, it was him. It was her. You know, it was like, mm-hmm. and I feel like if Daniel had maybe taken some ownership of the decision, it wouldn't have seemed like such so catastrophic. But for him to be just immediately trying to, and maybe he thought it would work out differently. Like maybe he had better bonds with both sides. Because it seemed like he did, right? Like,
yes.
He seemed to be closer with Mike. Mike shared the idol info with him. You know, Lydia said nice things about him. He seemed to be in a pretty good relationship with Hai and Lydia. And so maybe he thought, hey, I'll throw Chanel under the bus. You know, we'll go back to camp. I'll make amends with this four and she'll be the outsider. And that's how I'll get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ultimately, you know, you have a lot of people like weighing in here with, you know, Mike also, you know, weighing in. You have Lydia weighing in. Poor Jenny, who we've barely mentioned. Jenny looked like she had so much promise.
I know. She was a big fan favorite. I really like Jenny. I know a lot of people really like Jenny. Mm-hmm. Really unfortunate. I mean, she was in a good spot, a very good spot, it seemed.
But did you feel like at all, and you know, I don't want to go too much into the edit, but at least did we get Jenny's backstory? And not that every single person in season 41 we got a backstory, but we didn't get anything on Lydia, really. I mean, Lydia is well known for her tweets, but that really hasn't been in the show.
Yeah. Or Jenny so much. I mean,
Jenny had, and she had the business in the first episode. So at least she had something. Neither of them had a lot.
Yeah. No, not so much. Not so much. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. So, I mean, in general, it was, I mean, so obviously Daniel should not have thrown out his number one ally immediately under the bus in that way, in mm-hmm. such a way where she, because then it just becomes he said, she said, and like nobody wins in that, in that argument. Like it's just, you know, a total loss. And then poor Daniel. I mean, what a tough spot that had to be.
I'm sure he's going to be going through, you know, a tough time with, you know, everybody weighing in on this. So, you know, Daniel seems like
how hard it had to have been.
Seems like a great guy.
Very nice.
We got put into a real pickle because of the Survivor twists. And he's the same guy who's like, Jeff Probst, I like this twist. You know, didn't work out so great for him. Maybe he doesn't like it so much now.
It's very funny. And what was interesting too was like the move of saying to like Hai and Lydia, like, if I change my vote to your side, will you forgive me? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, they will. Like, they'll say they will. You
know? So that's why I feel like that while he might walk away from this with, you know, an enemy for the rest of the game in Chanel,
right?
Like, I feel like that he's gonna be okay for the next vote.
So you think he can get out of it?
I think so. Why would Lydia and Hai vote him out next?
I think that maybe they would. He literally voted for Lydia. Like, I think you can't totally. It's hard to get over someone actually writing your name down on parchment, right? Mm-hmm.
Like, but he also at the same time, you know, saved Lydia.
Saved her. Yeah.
He put her in danger, but he took her out of the danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, his excuse was that Chanel made me do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of it really does depend on, and it was interesting how Hai handled it. Like, how did I lose your trust? That was such a mature.
He was so good. He was like, he took Daniel's hand. He said, tell me, Daniel, how did I lose your trust today?
Yeah.
He's like, you didn't. I was with you the whole time. Like, all right, let's tell Jenny to, you know, pack it up.
And it was interesting that too, like Hai, I don't think said he was not going to switch votes until Mike said, Hai, is there any chance you'll switch votes? I feel like Mike not said that, like the conversation might have gone differently, because I think Chanel was about to say something, right? Chanel was about to answer some question of Daniel's. And then Mike said, hold on, before Chanel answers, mm-hmm. Hai, is there any chance you'll split your vote? You'll switch your vote? And Hai considers, and he says, no, there's no chance. But like, I don't even necessarily think he had established that position yet for himself until Mike put it to him. And so it seemed that before Mike said that, it still was an open negotiation. Mm-hmm. And maybe there was a world where Chanel could have said, yes, let's vote out Lydia. And Hai like tragically takes it. But as soon as Mike puts that to him, suddenly he's in the opportunity of being able to kind of establish this big position of I'm not flipping. Mm-hmm. And then then that's when the that's when it's over. You know? And so I feel like sort of everything kind of cascaded wrong for Daniel here. And while it didn't look so hot, I do want to say that I think that the actual moment by moment choices he made were not as bad as they seemed.
Yeah, the execution was bad. Because I really feel like that what it's a great night for High and Lydia, who come away from, they were, based on what we knew about the tribe, they were down 4-2. Lydia was going to go home. They walk away from this group where they have the majority in this 5-person tribe.
Yeah, like they, I mean, they are suddenly the locus of power. Mike is solo. He's betrayed by Daniel. Mm-hmm.
Mike's going to need to be activating that idol pretty soon.
Yeah. Daniel and Chanel,
he's going to be crying about soccer real quick.
Yeah. I mean, do you think, so you think there's a world where like Chanel could have, like where like Daniel says it was Chanel's fault. Chanel, tell me who you really want right now and I'll do it. And you think Chanel, there's a world where she could have been like, she should have or could have just said, you know what?
Well, if you're Chanel in that spot, what is the preferred outcome for you? Do you want this to be a clean vote for yes, you know what? We've seen the light. Okay, we're voting out Jenny. It doesn't seem like Chanel had any bad blood with Lydia and High. Or if you're Chanel, is your preferred outcome that you want to go to rocks and potentially, I mean, look at that rock draw. I mean, the rock draw, the only good outcome on the rock draw then is High going home. There's only, you know, it's only a 25% chance of that, the same exact chance that you go out. I think if you're Chanel, I think probably, Jenny, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I think in that moment when someone says, like, you are the devious one, I'm innocent.
Right.
You know, you these decisions are typically made as an alliance. Like, I think your instinct is to say no, you know, like suddenly all of the guilt on the tribe is being,
she was, you know, in such a tough spot where, she did not want to give a name. But then when Daniel was pressed, then he really, said, you know, it was Chanel. And then she had, you know, that great line about how you're the super fan. You're telling me you didn't have a stake in this, but I do wonder at that point, especially after Daniel's closest ally. Daniel has out. I am not good under pressure. I'm overthinking all this. That you could not ever envision Daniel going to rocks in that spot. And I do wonder if High was emboldened based on the fact that knowing anybody watching this show knows Daniel is not the type of person who's going to rocks.
Right. Well, and Daniel said that. I mean, not only was he.
But even before he said that, he didn't have to say that. But Stephen, yeah. I guess. Should Daniel have gone to rocks?
No. I mean, no, I don't think so. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as you're in the game, you don't want to go to rocks. You know, even walking out of this tribal council, it's so messy. You know, Daniel goes from being in the middle of every alliance to basically fracturing all of his alliances. He's still in the game. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's always tomorrow. You can clean up the damage. You can apologize a billion times. Someone else will screw up. Yeah. The other tribe will lose. 6 days from now, there's a swap. You know, as long as you're in the game, you're still in the game. You know,
and I agree with that. I think it's too late for him at that point.
Yeah.
Would have been wild to have a rock draw on the third vote of the season. First vote of the tribal council.
And he doesn't care. Like he doesn't really care with Lydia. I mean, like probably the mistake was not flipping faster. You know, if he had just said, listen, I'm not willing to go to rocks. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, Jenny. I'm sorry, Mike. I think we just need to move on. Cause like, I'm definitely not willing to do this. You know, I can see that High is right. High.
Yeah. Hi. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Come on. All right. You know, let's call this a night. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this, the worst damage for Daniel was just the loss of the alliance with Chanel, who was, you know, his, tightest partner in the game. And now he has, you know, a situation where Chanel is going to be very angry with him. Can't imagine how she goes back to trusting him. Mike is furious, I would have to imagine, especially after every, like, Mike seems like a let's go to rocks kind of guy.
Yeah, right. 100%. But I think that the High Lydia damage is real too. Like, to me, I just feel like they trusted him.
Yeah.
You know, and he blindsided them.
But Steven, they have no one else. They may not love him, but what are the alternatives?
Everyone is going to be coming to them because they're the locus of power now.
Like, sure, I but feel Mike has no vote.
Yeah.
At least Daniel has a vote. And I think Chanel becomes like the person who you target, or maybe even take a vote out Mike. But I mean, Mike is helping them in the challenges. So I think that Daniel comes away.
I would love to see it. Hey, that would be awesome. If anyone can do it, I think Daniel can do it. That would be great. I would love to see it. Also, we didn't talk about, again, like, not a great night for poor Daniel.
Yes. Well, how he first got on Mike's bad side in this episode.
Leaving the idol like with his water bottle.
Yeah. Well, Steven, let's go back to that, because that was really interesting, where Daniel, you know, is like, I need to read the fine print. Can I please, like, and he's like, fine. Okay, here, go take it. And he goes off and he ends up losing we thought that, like, we saw this in the preview. We're like, okay, Steven, what do you think about this master move from Daniel, that he didn't want Mike to play the idol? He's re-hitting it on him. Like, no, he just... lost it. He lost it. But, you know, and then he ends up getting it back too. So Mike, I think, was not feeling Daniel as much as he might have been earlier. But I do want to bring in Mike with at the challenge when we see Marianne throw out the phrase. And Mike, well, I thought that this was actually pretty smart on his part. Says, you know, I'm not going to say the phrase, because that if you get to the merge and the idols are not said, your idol becomes immediately activated automatically. And then nobody has to know that you have an idol.
Now, there's a big debate on Twitter about this. I don't know if you saw.
I did see some of it.
The language of the advantage, the Beware advantage itself.
Yes.
I think now there was some contention among, you know, the Survivor Legal Twitter community.
Yes. Okay.
I think it says you have to say the phrase.
Okay.
I think it says you must say the phrase. And so I think Mike's choice to not do this, obviously sanctioned by production.
Yes.
Was a violation of that rule.
Okay. So now production is going to typically I hear that. But in my interview with Dr. Evie Jagoda, last week on Robin's podcast, they had said that while it was mandatory in season 41 to say it at every, that Xander was told he had to say it at every single time out, I believe that that rule was modified for season 42. Again, as I was discussing with Evie, it's unclear if they had all of the parchments printed at Kinko's before they went to Fiji.
But why do you believe the rule was modified? Just because Mike didn't do it and it wasn't punished?
Apparently, it wasn't.
Did you have some insight that you're saying it was modified?
And Daniel told Mike in the first episode, hey, you don't have to say it if you...
So Daniel modified the rule?
Steven, the play
Jeff
is...
Probst?
Steven, that I know you want to get like a gotcha moment here, but that the players who are in Survivor 42 are under the impression that they don't have to say it at every trial.
Well, no, I don't doubt that. And I don't doubt that. I think typically like a lot of things will fly. I'm not looking for a gotcha moment.
Yeah.
I just think that this was a misstep because it also doesn't seem fair that, you know, Marianne feels like she has to say this phrase. She's completely exposed.
Why Mike do you feel now? Did Marianne say I have to do it?
No. It doesn't seem fair that, like, you know, someone does it and then someone else just like chooses not to in spite of what's on the parchment. But I mean, I typically, you know, I think production will let a lot of stuff fly if it's more interesting for TV. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that they're going to push the letter of the law to what's going to make the better TV, what's going to be the more interesting strategy, you know, and we saw, or we certainly heard after the fact that in, you know, Survivor, whatever it was, Game Changers, when Sarah was going to hand over the legacy advantage. Mm-hmm. She only was prohibited from doing so when Troyzan, you know, also a great, you know, Survivor legal scholar, noticed that the legacy advantage said like cannot be like non-transferable, right? Mm-hmm. Which probably like some intern wrote when he was like filling out the scroll, like to make it sound cool. And so that was only at that point when someone like said like, hey, this is non-transferable, did then they say they step in and say, oh, you can't transfer it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that typically they will like let the game play until someone kind of like raises their hand and says like, hey, that's not cool. I'm that person. I'm raising my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think the parchment is unambiguous. I think it says you absolutely can't do that.
But I would assume that there is a producer also who is talking to, like that. If it was mandatory and Mike didn't do it the first time, I think that he would have been spoken to from.
But I know. But I think I'm saying that I think they don't care. Like I think like it's like honestly like for my steal a vote advantage, like I was making up the rules as I go on. They were like, "What do you think this should do?" And I was like, "Here's how it should play out in the event of a tie." Like I think that it's like, I mean, obviously, I didn't, you know, I could have made some better rules for that.
Go back to the drawing board.
You know, in terms of like, oh, what if there's a tie? What if there's a revote? Like, we were like talking it through, you know, like it's not like written in stone by the survivor advantage gods.
Yeah.
You know, this is a bunch of like people at a whiteboard, like do it, like taking their best shot in the dark.
Yeah. Oh, no, like you did there. Like we just said about the shot in the dark. And it's unclear whether or not the producer sort of like got on the whiteboard in between season 41 and season 42, or if, you know, some of the questions that Daniel, you know, Chanel and or Mike were asking about this ended up saying like, you don't have to say it every time if you don't want to.
Right. They were probably like, yeah, that's a cool idea. Like run with that. Let's go.
Yeah. But I would imagine, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, that if they did say that to Mike, I would think that they also would have said that to Marianne.
Oh, I don't think, well, my guess is that they would not, maybe they won't like say it to her, but they're not going to enforce, they're certainly not going to force one person to do something that they're not forcing another person to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was enough debate within the survivor legal community, you know, the great survivor legal scholar, Jessica Frey, spoke out on behalf of, you know, Mike not having to say the phrase. David Bloomberg also agreed with that side, although I think that having David Bloomberg on your side is not necessarily what you want.
depends on the issue. Yeah.
I'm just hassling him. So anyway, that happened. Good strategy for Mike. Questionable rules.
Okay. Steven, I also want to get your thoughts on one more thing. The challenge. They had to stop the challenge. Water was too rough. What did you think about that?
That was wild. Like what an intense moment. I mean, that challenge, but holy God, they're doing the slow-mo shots of like the people's heads going underwater. Like good on them for stopping it down. I mean, it really seemed like that the other two groups were just never going to finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First off, how impressive was Jonathan the whole way through?
Oh my God. I mean, like, you know, getting the ladder, like rescuing his tribe, you know, swimming back out, bringing the others in.
Yeah. And then he hit all the sandbags too.
Yeah, you know, it was incredible. What an like truly an epic performance.
Yeah, that was incredible. Steven, should they have settled this? Okay, that we're calling this as a draw. Should that have been both tribes going to tribal council? I saw Chappelle saying this on Twitter as well. Send both the tribes to tribal council. You can't finish the challenge.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I mean, it's like
we got a great
like
tribal council.
Act of God.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to like, I mean, you know, there's too many people there. I mean, like it wasn't like they were totally, it wasn't like this, like, they were not making fire with matches, you know, like they were like failing to do this incredibly brutal thing in these wild seas. You know, I mean, that doesn't seem, you know, I don't know. I thought he handled it very well. They seemed to stuck at about the same point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just like take it out of the sea and continue the challenge on land. You know, they'd all suffered enough. I don't know. It didn't seem like and plus like there's typically parts of a survivor. They honestly could have edited a lot of that out and just been like, and it's a race on the sand. And, you know, like there's typically parts of a survivor challenge that you don't see. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's usually like multiple phases and they don't include them all. I don't know. One thing I did want to say. Oh, sorry. Are we done with this part of it?
We go wherever you want to go.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. I thought that, you know, Daniel seemed neurotic for asking to read the rules. I thought it made sense for him to read the rules. You know, like I thought that was a pretty sensible, like, you know, that's a pretty convoluted parchment. A lot of like clauses and subclauses. You know, here we have, you know, this whole cabal of Survivor legal experts on Twitter, like pouring over it, debating the nuances of phrases, and we can't come to an understanding. You know, one, you know, malnourished guy in 5 minutes is not going to be able to get it all in. I didn't think it was so crazy of him to want to read it again with a little bit more time you know, have some more contemplation.
Yeah. I mean, not a crazy request. It did seem like it was bothering Mike a little bit. It seemed a little bit like when my son is asking my wife, a question for the second and third and fourth time. And it seemed like it was a little bit like getting on his nerves.
But I'm sure that's very frustrating from Daniel's point of view, too. And, you know, he's like playing it off as being very affable, but it must be extremely frustrating to have an ally who has an advantage and doesn't even want to figure out how it actually works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think you got to keep Mike happy.
Yeah, but why doesn't Mike have to keep Dan happy?
They should compromise.
Yeah. I mean, compromise, it makes sense to read the rules. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Read the
rules. Yeah. And, you know, in fairness to Daniel, he read the rules and realized that he didn't have to vote out Mike.
A very important codicil.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky, smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Steven, we have the results of our poll, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So we asked the listeners, would you have sent the vote to Rox or flipped? Okay. What do you think that the audience felt about this?
Flipped.
Flipped. So I think it's tough because I think people really love Jenny. And I think that's going to factor into the equation.
I'm saying 65% say flipped.
65% say flipped. Okay. Let's
64. 63% say flipped.
Okay. I'm going to say that I feel like, okay. Oh, yes, 68. Very good. Very good, Steven.
68%.
Said flipped. 32%
so
is a rock.
I'm so in tune with the listeners.
Yeah, but I think as we've like logicked it out, like I don't think it makes sense for Daniel to have gone to Rox under any circumstances. I think that most of the things that we've quibbled with was how he handled the point between when he was in that spot until when he said, okay, I'm going to vote for Jenny. But I think his ultimate decision was the right one.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely like missed. Ultimately, like, you know, here's a question that some people were asking on Twitter. It doesn't have to do with the rules of the advantage. Who played it worse tonight, Chanel or Daniel?
You know, that's a tough question. Well, which part?
I mean,
are you talking about Chanel on Shipwheel Island or Chanel at Tribal Council?
Well, obviously, I mean, I think as a whole, who had the worst night?
Who had the worst night? I mean, I think it's probably Chanel had the worst night because that I feel like that she made the, you know, the first sin at Shipwheel Island that ultimately ended up sending this. And I think you and I are in, you know, different opinions of who has come away from the night with the most damage. I think it's Chanel.
Well, honestly, first of all, I completely agree that Chanel had the much worse night. I think, like, I thought that Shipwheel Island choice was so bad. And I feel like, you know, in terms of the episode takeaway, because the tribal council lasted longer, because it was more messy, because Daniel was so much the focus, that I think a lot of the attention after this episode is like, oh my gosh, that Daniel. But I thought that that Shipwheel Island choice was like terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like truly one of the worst decisions we've seen on the show. I mean, that's probably hyperbolic, but I mean, it's up there. Like to sacrifice a crucial vote at a crucial tribal council.
Yeah.
Knowing, and without even really that much to gain, like gaining an extra vote, you know, not that super.
But I want to add that I thought that back on the beach, I thought Chanel, even though High said he saw through what she was up to, he felt like that she was acting weird. I loved her idea about the vote split. And I thought that was very good.
Yes. If
and
they'd so, be able to pull that off, that would have been very good.
I don't want to count Chanel out in terms of like, could she, if she does have like a good hate into Daniel now, could she, in fact, like go back to that if he has taken enough social damage as we think that he might have, could Chanel go back to High and Lydia and flip it back around and say, hey, Daniel's a snake. We can't trust him. You see how he threw me under the bus?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think she could. Like, I think that's exactly what. Well, that's why I think that Daniel came out worse, because he threw Chanel under the bus. Mm-hmm. Not like obviously that fractures his relationship with Chanel, but I think it also looks shady to High and Lydia, you know, where, but anyway, yeah. I mean, like they wouldn't have been in that situation at all if Chanel just hadn't done that, you know, if Chanel just kept her vote. Like it would have been a very open and shut vote, like 3-2, you know, goodbye Lydia.
Yeah. But it would have been much worse TV for us.
That was great. So TV.
We appreciate
Thank
that.
You. Thank you. Chanel.
Best Shipwheel Island ever.
It really, truly. I don't know. I really do. I mean, like, I really like Daniel. I know. I'm sure this was a hard episode to watch. You know, I don't think any. I know that I've had some messy moments on Survivor, and you know, you get into these really stressful situations,
literally and metaphorically.
Okay. See, I'm even like 7 years later, I'm still dealing with people joking about. Any one of us in this extremely stressful spot, you have five people looking at you, mad at you. What do you want to do, Daniel? What do you want to do? Save me. You know, like that's stressful. And to like navigate that in such a, and like knowing that it's being watched at home.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So to navigate it perfectly and say the perfect thing in every moment. I mean, I thought he did a totally decent job.
I've been in this spot in like mafia games and it's not fun.
Exactly. And he's trying to placate everyone. He's trying to like, you know, get rid of his out. And also we're only seeing one part of the narrative. You're right. Like maybe he goes back to camp. Maybe he completely saves himself. And this was not that big a deal. You know, he sold like in a mafia game, 5 minutes later, you would be back into in the swing of things. So, I know it didn't seem like a great episode for Daniel, but, I have hope and faith in him.
Okay. All right. Steven Jack says, does Daniel try to build back a bridge with Mike and Chanel, or does he stay on the bottom, between High and Lydia? Well, hey, I got some math for you, Jack, he's not on the bottom, you know, if he goes with High and Lydia.
But I think you still want to go with High and Lydia here, right? Because, I mean, I do think the Chanel alliance is pretty much over.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he stays with High and Lydia and tries to make that work. That is an interesting and fun group to watch. If that threesome is going to continue to move ahead into the merge.
I really like High. I mean, High, just what a great night for High.
He was
so good. Truly, well,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's a question from Joey, Steven.
Joey Oak says, why do you all think Daniel didn't just flip his vote at the revote? I think he wanted to, you know, I think his attempt was to salvage as much trust as possible. And it obviously didn't work out, you know, from what we saw. But I think he was trying to, like, not anger Mike, not, you know, somehow make the case to High and take the time to make the case to High and Lydia that he was really their friend.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder if in that spot, Steven, okay, Jenny's not going to the jury. Is your job there, if you are Daniel, just get out of there as quick as possible. Instead of once High has dug in, okay, and you know you don't want to go to rocks, just agree, and then when you get back to camp, clean that up as much as you can, because I feel like that in that setting, in front of everybody, things could only get messier.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you're right. But I think the instinct is so much to try to like set everything right, you know? Mm-hmm. And as a fellow overthinking, anxious, neurotic person, that's what I would be doing. I'd be like, no, are you okay? Are you okay? Can I make things right with you? Like I would be 100% acting just like he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I think that those things are much easier to clean up, like in the one-on-ones and then two-on-ones. Yeah.
It's to just be like, I'm so sorry.
I have a
like,
thing. If we could just wrap this up, we could just get the check. I'm going to go, for Jenny, you know,
exactly. Yeah. That's the right move, just to like make it really fast. Mm-hmm. I kind of think that's maybe what he was hoping would happen. Like he was trying to like, you know, I'm not going to rocks. Chanel, what do you think we should do? You know, mm-hmm. like hoping she would just be like, yeah, I agree with you. Let's flip or not. I agree with you, but like, yeah, let's flip.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Question from the 6 Lost Tocantins episodes. What's more iconic? High with the incredulous face asking, where are the votes? Or Steven with his raised eyebrow saying, there's no votes from the jury.
I mean, I don't think I can compare. I mean, first of all, one thing, High is still in the game at this point. So I think he might win out on the merits there.
But I think that you got closed captioned, like, right?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't get closed captioned.
Yeah, so it was it was much more of a memeable.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, High really had some great befuddled faces, though. I don't know if I wasn't really competing on that level.
Mm-hmm. I like that he cut Jeff off. He's like, if you'll let me explain, I'll tell you. Okay, see, what does Hope have to say?
Hope wants to know, who do you think made the call to interrupt the challenge? Probably a team.
Yeah, I think they're giving the signal.
I mean, I'm sure Jeff, I mean, I feel like Jeff is very on top of that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's like the one leading the way of being like, is this safe? Like, I, and you know, a lot of the time sort of like Jeff becomes like a metonym for like all of production. But yeah, I think in this case, it actually might have been Jeff who was like, this is like messed up. We need to stop this. Mm-hmm. Or it could have been any, you know, a director or someone who was underwater, you know, cause they clearly had an underwater team there.
And we just don't know how long they were out there. Like, I mean, the challenge where, you know, Beast Mode Cowboy ended up having to be, you know, medevaced out of the game. I think that was going on like 45, 50 minutes. So, you know, we find out tomorrow from Jenny, how long were they actually in the water? But it was, I bet it was longer than, you know, the 5 minutes that it seemed like on television.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. A couple more questions. Here is one that is from Jim. What would have happened if Daniel couldn't find where he misplaced Mike's advantage? Does production step in to help?
I don't think so. I think they would have let that play. I think that's a lost piece of parchment. I mean, that's great TV, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is really great. I really like, we didn't talk about that enough. I think that's such a great, like that's never happened. We talked about it a little bit last week, how, you know, certainly a fear.
What about the piece that he had in his underwear?
Which was like the congratulations.
Now, Mike didn't miss a beat. He's just going to give me that.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was going to like but I actually like Mike was pretty cool. I mean, I guess like, you know, Mike was pretty cool about it. What someone else might have thought was an actual attempt at theft.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, did you hear when High said that, okay, Daniel's losing everything. This is his water bottle, his glasses, his shoulder.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought that we were going to get a confessional from Daniel, who, you know, Survivor Superfan. I thought where Mike White talked about how that Mike White intentionally, like, would lose things around the camp to sort of, like, give off the image that he was sort of, like, doddering and they're like, oh, like, don't worry about him. He's not a threat. He's losing his water bottle all the time. But it seems like Daniel is actually that person.
Yeah, I mean, I was that person, too. Again, like... And I think for Daniel, it's like the absent-minded professor, you know, it's like, he's obviously a genius, you know, mm-hmm. he went to Yale Law. You know, he just, you know, some people, you know, aren't great with, finding their water bottle. You know, it's not a skill. They don't teach you that at Yale Law.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Water bottle location, not a class.
Okay. And then, here's one from MJ, Stephen.
MJ says, do you think production really had to make them announce who didn't vote like that? Couldn't they have had the discussion and let it get discovered organically / amongst themselves?
I mean, what would that look like? I don't know. Two of you can vote. We're not going to say who it is, but you know.
Yeah. It was great. It was very clean. I thought they did a great job with that. It was a very clean choice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a great night for Survivor.
It was a really, I mean, third boot, typically not like the most fun episode, you know? I mean, this is typically like, kind of a dud episode, to be honest. Like, I mean, I don't know. Is that true? Maybe that's not true. I haven't really done a survey of third boots.
Hit or miss. I mean, it's been some good ones and some not so good ones. Yeah. But I really feel like that this season is off to such a great start. I mean, it has been like talked about so much. That it's such a great cast. But this has just been, I think, really such a strong start to the season.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And all three episodes have been super fun.
And we... Ika tribe really didn't see them other than the challenge at all. And then, we got the follow up at, Taku a little bit, and that's going to be a situation that bears watching going into next week in a 4-person tribe where Marianne and Omer have lost their vote. And so we are going to potentially do this again next Wednesday night, Stephen, when a 4-person tribe has only 2 votes at a tribal council.
Wow. That's very funny.
This may just be the warm-up. And Omer has no idea that he is going into a tribal council with no vote.
This is the best case scenario, right? Of like, instead of people having all these like wacky superpowers, like people just like losing their votes at crucial moments.
Yeah.
This is why all of these twists were meant to do,
right?
You know, like last time, like everyone like finagled it so that they all had extra votes. There were like 100 extra votes floating around. It was hard to keep track of. This is what the premise
votes.
Of some
right.
of these
Less
things
votes.
Really was.
And yeah. I guess what could unlock everything is if we see that the Ika tribe gets that third idol, beware advantage, and then all the phrases get said, all of a sudden Marianne gets 2 votes back in that 4-person tribe. And then Marianne really controls what's going to be happening at that, like basically be the entire tribe versus Marianne and force a tie.
Yeah.
So interesting. And then in that spot where the tie vote, 2 votes, 2 votes. Well, okay. Now Marianne is immune from the rock draw. So, Marianne, if she get their hands on her votes, could be in a good spot, but enough of that. We'll talk more about that next week. We still have, so much to talk about on what should be a really fun week. Stephen, before I talk about, what's coming up, anything else?
No, I mean, I just, you know, No. I mean, you know, this was a great episode.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad like that. I really like Daniel. I don't want to like, say anything bad about him. And I hope I didn't, I wasn't too critical of his game, but he did give me his blessing. To be fair.
He gave you his blessing. And that's what we're here to do.
I know, but he's all, these are people. And like, most of the time you can ignore that, but, with someone you actually know and you like,
I mean, were we unfair? Did we make any personal attack on anyone? I mean, I think that, we have to talk about what happens on Survivor. Yeah. And I think we have empathy towards, all of the players. Some of the players and, in all seriousness, we try to be, as clinical as we can when we talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a great conversation.
This was fun. And it's so interesting. It was such an interesting episode. I mean, there was so much going on. Truly like so much going on.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of so much going on, Stephen, thank you for the great segue. let me tell you about what's going on this week. My exit interview with Jenny is coming your way tomorrow. If you haven't been catching up with our exit interviews, we've been doing them on video for the first time this season. So you can, of course, watch that here on YouTube as well. Kim Spradlin will join me for the episode recap, recording a little bit early. Kim wants to get the podcast in while her kids are at school. So if you have questions for Kim, make sure you get those in before lunchtime tomorrow. On the Survivor Feedback Show, Gandia Johnson will join me. Gandia is fired up and ready to talk about this season. Should be a fun one. And then on the Survivor Academy, I told you, David Bloomberg and, of course, Survivor Millennials versus Gen X's own Jessica Lewis, who knows a thing or two about rock draws. Great week to talk to David and Jessica on the Survivor Academy for the patrons only.
Why did Jenny lose?
That'll be for their podcast. Okay.
I mean,
we're going to be talking about. We're
going
to be talking about the lessons for the future players. They can talk about what happened to Jenny. On
we did not talk about. Oh, okay. That's a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? Do you have any thoughts on Jenny's run here?
No, I mean she was in a great spot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of why Jenny lost, that's one of the many podcasts you'll hear in our Survivor podcast feed. Of course, over on the RHAP B&B, Mike and Liana are going to be playing some games with Grace Leader. It's really about why blank lost. And then something special with Taryn and Shannon, that they are doing a crossover edition, one podcast where two of our top strategic minds, Shannon Gus and Taryn Armstrong, will get together. Over under on that podcast, 3 hours and 37 minutes for the Taryn and Shannon breakdown of this episode. And of course, Bryce and Wendell are breaking it down every week on the Survivor News edition of the Purple Pants podcast, all in the Survivor feed at robinswebsite.com/survivorfeed. Okay. A couple other things. Steve, have you watched Bad Vegan?
No, but I know the journalist.
You do?
Years ago, who Alan Salkin, right?
Yes.
Who broke this story.
Not Sarma. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it looks crazy. It looks wild.
Yeah, Netflix documentary. Everybody's talking about it. Of course, over on the Nothing But Netflix podcast, we helped kick off a brand new true crime wrap up as Chappelle and I were joined by the co-hosts of Crime Scene, the very first RHAP true crime recap show. Mari Forth and Sarah Carradine will be taking you through different true crime properties as they review them over on Crime Scene, the first ever RHAP true crime rehappa.
Hey, this is an interesting reality TV tidbit about the that journalist. He was on like the Dating Lisa Loeb show, like that aired like 20 years ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Who knew? I didn't even know there was a Dating Lisa Loeb show.
I think there was.
Okay.
I think he was on it.
Okay. Yeah. Stephen, our friend Dr. Mike.
Wow.
Joined Danny Bryson and I that wow. We haven't been able to get a hold of Tyson, Stephen. Mm. That he's been
challenging.
He's ghosted us. We can't track him down.
It's challenging to get a hold of him. It's CBS challenging to get a hold of him.
Heard you the first time. And
I want to hit the point harder.
I think Tyson is, this might be a contract holdout. We got to keep doing the shows. Dr. Mike joined us on News AF this week for a very fun edition. So check out Dr. Mike with Danny Bryson and myself on the latest News AF. Of course, for the patrons of Robinson Podcast, I told you about what we have going on at the Survivor Academy. Of course, we make it very easy for you to watch everything going on with Australian Survivor, Big Brother Canada, the patron 5 for 5 with the First Lady of Podcasting, and much more. When you become a part of what I would like to humbly say is the greatest reality TV community in the world, over at robinswebsite.com/patron. Okay?
Wow.
All right. And of course, I'll be live with the patrons Tuesday night for the patron cast. Of course, you can call in whatever you want to talk about, Survivor, RJP, Big Brother, anything at all. Taking calls with the patrons this Tuesday night. And of course, hit that subscribe button if you are watching us here on YouTube. And of course, you can get all of the links to all of the different RHAP podcast feeds now at robisawebsite.com/subscribe. And of course, follow us on social media. Steven.
Is that not always the case?
We made it so it used to be at robisawebsite.com/subscribe. That was just to subscribe to Rob as a podcast reality TV wrap ups. I said, hey, let's get all the podcast links up at robisawebsite.com/subscribe.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Steven, what's coming up for you?
Oh my God. Every week you ask me this and it's just like, oh, you know, the long march.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 31 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Stephen, we're having so much fun here. Survivor 42.
It really is.
Yeah. It's great to be back with you here every Wednesday. Thank you all so much for watching. It's so much fun to get to do this, especially on a night like this when there's so much to unpack in a Survivor episode. So thank you again for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News & World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.